Okay, I am really excited to have Chris Weatherhead Felder with us today. She and her husband have written and co-produced and directed, and I think Chris is the director of the movie All for Liberty about Captain Henry Felder, who lived here in Orangeburg and actually lived, his family lived down the Highway 21, I think, and there's a cemetery down there. I put a little biography in everybody's folder, and I kind of used the First Family Bible to go by, and it'll tell you all about Captain Felder. And Chris's husband, Clarence, and his brother, John Felder from St. Matthews, of which some of y'all might know him, but he found out that, and he's an actor, and he, and I put all their, all these things in a little bio I wrote about him, but, and he's, very, active in a lot of things, and Chris also in movies and TV productions, and you'll see all about that too, but I think we, here in Orangeburg, we have a little treasure here with this movie. It's all about us. I mean, I live here, so I guess that's why I'm so excited about it, you know. And about things that happened here in Orangeburg during the Revolution. And I watched the movie, and I was really embarrassed to tell Chris that I hadn't watched the movie. But I did watch the movie last week, and I just loved it. I enjoyed it so much, and I think it would be a fabulous, fabulous teaching tool for all the Orangeburg children to know about, you know, what happened here, what part that Orangeburg people played in our Revolutionary War. And I'm just really proud of the movie too, and I'm so glad, again, I can't say enough about Chris for coming and honoring her with her presence. And she also brought along her assistant,
Myra Jones.
Myra Jones, which Myra has a speaking part in the movie too,
and is related.
And she just found out she's related. She's in the Felder line too, which I probably everybody in here is, but we might find that out in a minute. But anyway, I'm so proud to introduce Chris Weatherhead Felder for All for Liberty.
Well, thank you. Well, it is my honor.
Can
I say one
thing?
Yes.
Buy the movie, please. She's got a great deal on it out there. $15. You can't buy a movie for $15, especially such a good one.
Well, thank you so much. It was a pleasure to talk to Pamela. The way we heard about this event, and I must say, I run Actors Theater of South Carolina, and our film department is Moving Images Group. And we had a film festival for a while, and so we had a whole acting company that did fabulous theater, but also way back in 2004, they were talking about how they'd really like to take advantage of this new technology and do a fabulous feature film. So we were sort of casting about all that and what's the best story and all of that. And during that time period, my husband, who had come back originally to help take care of his mother, Helen Gressett, Helen Felder Gressett, or Helen Gressett Felder, I'm sorry. And she was very ill. We had come back from Hollywood, California to help with that situation. And while he was on the computer, which I'm glad I forced him to learn a computer, and he's a great researcher and he reads many, many books. He's just an amazing history buff. All his life he has been so. So when someone emailed him from somewhere out in the middle of the country, said, "Are you by any chance related to that extraordinary hero of the American Revolution, Captain Henry Felder?" And he thought, "Well, I hope so." And he got, he rolled his sleeves up, and he got to business, and he was commissioned soon after that to write a play about his ancestor, and it was called Captain Felder's Cannon. And I've been a screenwriter for many years. I started in New York as an actress, and then I started hyphenating myself, writer, director, producer. And when I saw the opening night of Captain Felder's Cannon, something happened. I was too busy to play the wife at that point. So the next morning we were sitting on our porch in Folly Beach, and I turned to him and I said, "You're going to hate me for this, but this story is extraordinary. It is epic. It is not just that we're going to honor your ancestor, who's amazing, but everyone in America needs to know this story. And especially we need everyone in South Carolina to allow themselves to feel the pride and the joy at having this kind of bravery in our midst, because everybody, I'm from California." And I said to him, I said, "Everybody thinks that this all happened up in Boston. And this is amazing. We have to do this as our feature film." And he looked at me and he said, "It's a period piece. Where are we going to get the cannon, the men, the horses, the costumes, all of that?" I said, "Well, we believe in God, don't we? And God can do all kinds of miracles." So about 10 miracles later, we had done our first principal photography at an amazing event. God works in mysterious ways. We suddenly found out when we were about to start shooting, I was in pre-production in 2004, okay? 2004. And I suddenly heard about the 1,200 reenactors that were coming to Charleston for the siege of Charlestown. Now, did anyone attend that event? Well, you'll see it in the movie, okay? But a dear friend, I bet Jimmy did. By the way, can we take a moment? I just have to thank my husband's first cousin, James Gressett, who called us before he went into an operation, the Sunday night before, and said, "I've been meaning to call you because there's an Oktoberfest of the Swiss-German Society, and I hope that y'all can fit it into your schedule." We said, "Well, Jimmy, that would be great. We'll look at our calendar, but let's talk about it when you get home." And so I do want to tell you that we're going to get more involved with your society on behalf of James Gressett. So please just, let's just give Jimmy a big hand, okay? So I heard about the siege of Charlestown. And the man who was running the Old Exchange and Dungeon, which ended up being one of my 31 locations all across the state, from Brattonsville to Charleston. And I went there looking at a location in the Great Hall upstairs where George Washington danced. And we were talking. He said, "Well, now, is the siege of Charlestown in your story?" And I said, "Yes, it certainly is. I have no idea how I'm going to shoot it. But God will figure that out." And he said, he grabbed my arm and he said, "You have no idea what's going to happen next April." So we did a deal with the folks putting that together. And we had a great time shooting our first full days. We had like 18-hour days. And when you see, I'm going to give you some inside stuff because you folks are kind of on the inside. You're all keepers of the flame of your own family, and you'll enjoy some of these secrets about the movie. When you see the film and you see the British having their victory ball to rub in the victory, to rub the noses of those patriots, they had a victory ball in the Great Hall in Charlestown. Well, we shot that. So when you see that, that is part of the reenactment from the siege of Charlestown after they won. Now, there's a great deal of history that I could cover, but I'm going to just try to throw a little stone across it. I want you to get excited about the movie and buy it for yourself. And then if you have questions, I think that at some point, maybe at one of the other events, we can do an actual sort of historical talk about it. But right now, I just want you to know that we had four goals when we started this project. The main one was to tell the story of the bravery of Captain Henry Felder, his family, and all the other people who fought with him so that we would have a free nation. We wanted to tell it in such a way that when we get to heaven, we want to see him smiling at us. Okay? We had spent many years in Hollywood, also New York, but Hollywood is where most of the movies are made. And when you see a historical film come out of Hollywood, you can pretty much bet that it's not going to have good history. So the second goal was we wanted to really get the history. So what we did was try to do all the research that we could. Clarence is an amazing researcher. And then, because I'm a screenwriter and I've worked with story for so many years, I wanted to have a great action-adventure picture that would also have really good, solid history. So we ended up with 7 different historical advisors who all were sort of hysterical at fighting during the 2.5 years that we were shooting, but they were a wonderful resource. And so therefore, if you get close-ups of buttons or hats or waistcoats or things that, you know, the props, I was going to bring a couple of other props today, but since Clarence has a performance on Thursday in Charleston of a show that we just did in St. Thomas, it's called Beethoven, His Women and His Music, he had to rehearse today, so he couldn't come himself, but he sent his hat. Okay, I'm going to pass that hat around. You don't have to put money in it. I just want you to look at the hat. And then I'll pass a poster. And then I'm going to pass a magazine that we want to let you know about. I'll do that a little bit later. So here is the hat and a poster. He wore that in the film. There's a great deal of history I'd love to share with you, but I really would like to just stay to the goals of the film and be able to then answer some of the questions about how we dealt with all that and maybe how we chose our locations. And before I go any further, I'd like to know who in this room is related on any level to Captain Henry Felder. So please, yes, we have a number of relatives and descendants in the room, and I just want to say you are related to an extraordinary man. And we couldn't tell the whole story in the film because, of course, I'm saving some of that for this pure history documentary, which I pray that we will have enough money to do. I have 64 hours of footage, which had to be melded down to about 82 minutes, which is what the film is. So it's very, very high quality stuff. But I have some really great historical footage. And we have some great talking heads and some wonderful things. We're going to put in a pure documentary, which will be called In Search of Captain Felder. So I'm just going to deal with the feature film right now. The second goal, other than paying him great honor and hopefully seeing him smile, was we wanted to give our actors, writers, directors, designers, all the people that we had been working with in South Carolina, a chance to be a part of a really fine story. The third goal was that we knew we had to stay with the project and have total artistic control. If we had let other producers bring in a lot of money, if you don't know this already, they'd breathe over your shoulder and probably force us to do things that we felt were not historically sound. We did have some fictional elements, but even those fictional elements are based in historical reality of the Orangeburg District and the Charleston, South Carolina area of that time. So we had to stay artistically in control. The fourth goal is the goal that I have now, and that is to honor 164 people that were willing to work on the project for deferred payment. So we have the cast and crew fund that people give us donations for, where we shot the film through a nonprofit company. So my final goal here is to be able to write every one of those checks, even for somebody who came in and did one of the last 350 voiceovers that we had to do in Charleston. So those are the four goals. doing this film almost killed me. I mean, it was the hardest thing I've ever done in my life. We did shoot in 31 locations. We did have one location down, and if you've never been, has anyone been, raise of hands, to Fort King George in Georgia? That is an amazing sight. I encourage each of you. There was the Fort Orangeburg that played heavily in the last part of the story. And I kept going location scouting, and just, it was hopeless. I didn't know where I was going to be able to create and fool the camera enough so that we could do that scene. And when one of our advisors said, well, you got to go down to Fort King George. And we did. It was originally built in 1720 by the British. And the city fathers and mothers down there in Darien have spent a lot of time and money putting that back together. And it's amazing. I must have shot 8 or 9 days there. And a gentleman who plays Sawgrass, the Catawba scout for Captain Felder, was able to come up and do the show, to do the film, because he was coming up from Florida. We had met him at the siege. And he is half Creek. And he was able to give us really good information about the Cherokee scout, and he dressed that particular Native American for his scene. So we felt like even in those areas, we were being very historically correct as much as we could. And he was able to do the film because we were shooting down there, and we must have killed 8 people in 2 days in the little forested areas of that wonderful historic site. So everything was shot in South Carolina. I'm going to focus the rest of my talk primarily on those of you who live here, and we are trying to get the awareness about Captain Felder to such a degree that we can have historical markers, finally. We have a wonderful marker in the town square here, but it's not an official historical marker that we want to get a number of those here and there around the state. There's a big fight going on between historical artillery people about whether the cannon, there's a small cannon down on the battery in Charleston. Has anyone seen that small cannon? Well, I don't know if you noticed what I noticed, but there is an HF on the back. And all the artillery guys that I've talked to, from what they've said, I believe that that cannon, which was apparently sort of drug out in the beginning of somewhere during the Civil War, I believe that that is the third Captain Felder cannon. You'll see 2 in the town square here. Could you give me a raise of hands of those who have actually seen Captain Felder's cannon here in your own town square in Orangeburg? Aha, I see. We have some more people that need to go over there and look at that. All right. There is I want to tell you about a magazine that I think that y'all benefit from. So it's something that I stumbled onto on the web about 1.5 years ago. And the gentleman, who is a young, very patriotic young man from New Jersey, started this magazine. It's from Ertel Publishing in Ohio. And it's called Patriots of the American Revolution. And when he found out about the film, I sent him a press packet, and he saw the film and just got so excited and wrote a fabulous 4-page article and had wonderful photographs. And ever since then, they've been so excited about our project that they keep supporting and promoting our film. So in the meantime, their magazine has been growing and growing, and they are now on the newsstands with this magazine. And just recently, does anyone know David Ruhr from Camden? David Ruhr worked very hard on an American Revolution magazine, and it didn't quite happen the way he wanted it to. And he is now one of the main editors of this magazine. So we have one of our very own South Carolinian on-fire patriots up there out of Ohio. I mean, he still lives in Camden. But I'm going to pass this around. I'm going to give it to Pamela so that you all will have your own copy to kind of pass around. And I do hope that each of you will think about taking advantage of what they do is they accept stories about your ancestors who are in the American who were in the American Revolution. And they print a lot of that. So I would maybe go to work on a story about your ancestor and submit it to this magazine. I'll pass this around. Now, I am wearing today the outfit of a woman, for those of you who have seen the film. How many people have seen All for Liberty? Yippee! We're going to be doing a special Christmas offer also, because a lot of people do like to give them away as Christmas presents, so we're going to do a special Christmas offer. We'll let you know if you want to sign my list, because you can't buy them today. If you don't want to, you could. But you could also sign my list, and we'll give you an email when that offer comes. I think it'll be up on the website by probably November 10th. But I'd be happy to email you that offer. The lady who plays the spy, the Patriot spy, there were two women in Charlestown that had, they were owners of taverns at that time. And that is one of our fictional elements, is that we have decided that one of those women probably was a patriot. So what we did was, originally in the play, Clarence created this character of this this spy, and I'm wearing her outfit. And that was played by Boo Shepherd. So I don't know if y'all know Boo Shepherd, but if you do, you will enjoy her in this movie, playing the head of the spy ring in Charlestown. There's a lot more I could tell you, but I'd love to answer any questions, and y'all need to go to lunch pretty quick here. So anybody have any questions about the film or about Captain Felder?
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
Where did y'all finally decide where the house was that he was killed at?
Well, we have our idea.
Okay, I want to hear your idea.
I'm not at liberty to tell you that until we have a couple of more steps to take about that. However, has anyone, any one of those who are the descendants, are you aware that there is that, the graveyard? Have you been to the graveyard? Well, unfortunately, it's behind a water treatment plant, and it is a rather circuitous route, and you need to usually get permission to go back there. But if you tell them that you are a descendant, they will let you do that. I think that the cannon that are in the town square, we never knew who was really responsible for that. And I'm just wondering if anybody in this room knows who that is, because we would certainly like to thank them.
Who put that sign up?
The sign, and also who got the cannon in there.
Well, I don't know who did that, but one of the, let's see, Fred Marion Felder's, Fred Felder's son.
Frederick Felder's son. Yeah. Freddie, who's got the pecan company.
Freddie's daddy. Freddie's brother is the one who put the sign up there in front of the cannon.
Well, I love that sign. You know how you go to these historical markers and you can't read them and you can't understand what it's saying? That, up until, certainly it might be different now, but right? The way you stand there and be able to read that story, it's a great introduction to Captain Felder. Now, the history books do get a little confused, because his son, Henry Jr., did take over the militia after Felder passed on. And so sometimes they attribute things to his son, or they attribute things to the father that were actually done by the son. One example would be, we did something in the film that was kind of a fictional, we squashed together a couple of events, and one was that in reality, the son, Henry Felder Jr., did lead General Sumter into Fort Orangeburg to be able to, the British surrendered very quickly, and there's some, I'm not going to say exactly what we think happened there, because I want to do a little bit more research on that, but they did fool the British enough that that the British just basically surrendered. It was in 1782, and it was one of the last events of the Revolutionary War in this colony. Any other questions?
Is Dr. Atkinson here? Because I was thinking he may be able to answer your question about cannons.
Well, I know that there are people who say, oh, no, it couldn't possibly be one of those cannons, no. But they won't tell you who they think it was. And there are two artillery experts that I want to get to as I've taken pictures. If you see the cannon in the town square, you'll see that HF. Now, there was Hill's foundry. There was Billy Hill who had a foundry. And there is a question, certainly, of how are you going to get a cannon in this colony at that point? Now, a whole nother aspect, which I can't get into because I got to let you go to lunch, but I'll be over there. I have a broken little baby toe, and we just came back from St. Thomas with one of our shows, and I've been trying to do doctor's orders. So I'll be sitting at our table after lunch. I can answer any questions. But we do think that it was very, very hard to come by weapons, gunpowder, cannon, and Felder was appointed by the First and Second Provincial Congress to do that very thing. He knew how to make gunpowder. They put him in charge of raising funds to buy weapons so that when the loyalists came and burned him out the first time in 1778, that they got a hold of 2,000 pounds that he had collected for that very purpose. But we're talking about an extraordinary leader of his community who was Swiss, German, and of course, as you know, the Swiss are all about liberty and freedom. And so it is my pleasure, my honor and privilege to have been with you today. And we'll be over at that table. Y'all have a great lunch. God bless.